Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
McGahn was told by Trump to talk to Rosenstein to complain about conflicts of interest that Mueller had and have Mueller removed for conflicts of interest. And there's a difference, because if you remove someone for a conflict of interest, presumably someone else is going to be put in to continue the investigation. And what Trump was being accused of in the New York Times was just outright directing the firing of Mueller.
So Attorney General Barr spoke this morning with Bill Hemmer and said a lot of really interesting things. So we're going to ask Tim Jones about it.
I'm definitely not America's sweetheart.
This is Armageddon.
First thing I want to say about Tim Jones is we just did a Snapchat the News with Tony Colombo, which will be is loading on the Facebook page right now. Tim Jones has never seen Snapchat the News.
I haven't.
You've giggled so much.
You kids these days.
Tim Jones, spoiler alert, makes a cameo
photobomb
in this Snapchat the News.
Photobomb!
I look good in a big curly blonde wig.
Sure do.
Especially when you don't know what's happening.
Sure do.
The people at home are like, what's going on? Well, you're going to have to check it out, right?
Yeah, you need to go to the Facebook page. It's uploading, so however long. And I was talking to you a little bit about this over the break. But Steve Solomon, who we just had on the show, is a host of a radio show. I think he's in Tennessee, but he talks about social conservative issues among the rest of the news and politics of the day. And one day he woke up and his Facebook page was gone and he lost 20,000 followers. And now he's starting from scratch. It's ridiculous.
And it happens all the time. And it goes back to this is historical in context, right? It goes back to Lois Lerner, who was Barack Obama's IRS chief, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her slow walking the approval of various conservative not-for-profits and 501c3s and folks like that, you know, who are trying to set up, you know, organizations like that to promote conservatism or liberty or libertarianism or freedom. And you know, you have those words attached to you, and apparently
have you ever been in Twitter jail?
Public figure. Once. Once, because some of my trolls who love to troll me were mad that I was responding to them.
Yeah.
So they threw me. I got thrown in Twitter jail for like.
What was your sentence?
It was overnight, so nobody knew. It was like between like midnight and 6 a.m.
We had it happen on Second Amendment Radio, where on the Southern Armory, who's a sponsor of Second Amendment Radio, they had, you know, the memories that will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
A memory popped up and it posted a meme that they had posted during one of the Barack Obama presidential elections.
Mm.
It was an anti-Obama meme. And it was real. I can't remember it, but it was just a really corny joke. It wasn't even anything that could be considered scandalous or anything. And it posted it itself as a memory and then said, this is political, you can't do this. And it banned the account for a month.
So like Facebook or Twitter,
they didn't even post.
Reposted themselves, and yes. Then you got in trouble for their own reposting
and got kicked off for a month.
And Andy, you asked me if I could think of any liberal groups. And
you said this. You had said this goes back to Lois Lerner and the way the IRS was targeting conservative groups and disallowing them to even making it so complicated to exist that they were stopping it. Yeah, and I said, can we think of a liberal entity that's experienced this kind of discrimination?
With the exception of the Me Too movement, I can't think of liberals getting in trouble for anything. You know? I mean, they always seem to avoid any sort of punishment because a lot of these tech companies are run by very liberal operators.
Is there a way to fix that? Does it need to be through government?
Well, see, I'm really torn on that. And Tucker Carlson has done a lot of deep dives into this on his shows about the dangers of big tech and how big tech can get so big that it can be like a government. It can basically become when something controls the entire means of communication,
mm-hmm.
It's quasi-governmental, right? In mm-hmm. a way, it's monopolistic, whatever. Although on the other hand, I'm like, well, you know what? My initial reaction to that is, where are all the brilliant conservatives and their version of Facebook,
That's
Twitter,
what I was thinking.
Whatever.
Right, whenever you just said that liberals are the people that are creating a lot of these social media platforms, I'm like, where are the conservatives that could, that are probably equally as brilliant creating something? I mean, we have The Blaze, which is an awesome website. We
yes.
have we have Breitbart. We have all these
Drudge
different
Report.
Outlets. Drudge.
Let's remember, the most, yes, Drudge. Drudge is the personification of a conservative news site that does own its lane. It was the first one of its type, right? And it still owns pretty much its lane. So I'm wondering why someone like a Matt Drudge hasn't created a social media platform for conservatives.
Well, here's a question, though. Do we want to live in a world where we're only socializing with people who think the exact same thing we
yeah,
do?
We don't want to live
I
in
don't.
A, yeah, we don't want to live in an
right.
echo
I
chamber.
Just, but there, it's different to want to have a platform that is welcoming to your political perspective. It's an entirely different thing to be shutting voices down because your political ideology at the helm of a behemoth like Facebook or Twitter, where you can create things and use it. You know, I'll tell you what, if you were going to make pro-life statements and you're going to talk about how women need to that we need to, in like Missouri, if I want to post something on the Facebook page that says that the House just passed the heartbeat bill and be in support of it because I am, then if I just put the facts and the information out there, that can be spun into this idea of hate speech. And for that to be able to be silenced by someone because they disagree with me, mm-hmm. and for them to then be able to label it hate speech, and that very, very vast umbrella gets to swoop everything in and nobody challenges them, that's a big problem to be silenced.
Isn't it interesting how certain philosophies own certain mediums? For instance, most television and cable outlets, with the exception of Fox News, are center left mm-hmm. or very left, right? NBC, CBS, ABC, so all the major networks, so on and so forth. Most of the cable networks, except for Fox News. However, you put all that together and Fox News is number one. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these, and vice versa, radio. Radio is largely occupied by center right,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of the center left radio shows that have tried to be created over the years have all failed.
Do you know that my first job in radio, my first paid job in radio, was to board up for Air America?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was yeah. it really?
Randy Rhodes was on, it was 11 KRFT 1190, and it was out of Webster Groves, and that was when I was working with 590 The Fan back in the mid-2000s. And I would spend my days listening to Randy. Do you know who Randy Rhodes is?
I know the name.
Oof. Yeah. Randy Rhodes and Al Franken.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to the Al Franken show.
Yep.
Neil Bortz was one of them. And interesting
okay.
thing about when Neil Bortz was
oh, that's interesting.
Doing a show, his go-to fill-in was Herman Cain.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I remember listening to this day in and day out and just being like, oh, my Lord. Like, people would say, how can you do that? I said, only way I'd do it is if they pay me.
Right.
And they do. So it's a job.
You know what the joke is about radio versus television and about why certain philosophies gravitate to one or the other? The joke is that liberals are sitting home all day watching television, so that's why liberal TV, and conservatives are running around running their lives and their jobs, so they only have time to listen to the radio.
Yeah.
So that's why they occupy those two different mediums.
I think it's really important that we look forward into how this censorship tends to be very punitive to conservatives. And when you consider the fact that in a platform where people are constantly sharing thoughts and ideas, and, you know, are there liberal leaning places getting shut down for hate speech? What does hate speech look like on the left?
Mm.
I don't even know what that is.
Look at my Twitter feed. You can see it there today.
Yeah.
Hashtag yeah. MoLeg for Missouri Legislature. For a bunch of people who argue that they're protecting women's bodies, rights, beings, whatever, they're being awful hateful about it, about this pro-life law that just passed the Missouri House.
So you're,
and it's on its way to the governor's desk.
You were Speaker of the House here in the state of Missouri, and you understand how the sausage is made in the legislature, and you understand how these things come to be. did you have any really like landmark things that you can kind of relate to that were really dramatically?
Yes.
What were those experiences?
So I was the speaker at the time that signed into law over Governor Nixon's veto the first income tax cut in the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Ever in our history. And I actually signed that into law because the governor vetoed it and we overrode him. So I was the person who put that into law with Senator Tom Dempsey, who was the Senate president at the time. And Annie, before this big pro-life battle, I actually carried the last big piece of legislation. I carried the late term abortion ban in the state of Missouri, which was up to this point the most important piece of pro-life legislation. This supersedes that. This goes further, but they asked me to carry it. And, I actually pushed back on that when I was asked. I was approached by a lot of the pro-life groups and the Catholic Conference and folks like that. And I said, that's great, but I'm a white. I said, I don't know what's going on. I'm a white guy. You know, maybe you should. We have a lot of women, you know, and they're great. And they're great pro-life advocates. And they all voted for the bill. But they said, look, Tim, you're an attorney. This is a legal issue. You're great on your feet. And we need someone like you to care. No disrespect to anybody else, but you kind of have. So I didn't want to do it, but they said, you're going to be able to explain that ban had a lot to do with the Supreme Court precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn it. I had to learn all that Supreme Court precedent. There have been a lot of cases following Roe v. Wade, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're very complicated. It's not nearly as simple broad brushing as what the media does is first of all, there's no right to abortion in this country.
Bernie says it's a constitutional right. I mean,
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
And he says it's a constitutional right. So if he's running for president, then doesn't that...
He should know. He should know.
Tony.
I was channeling Tony there. It was a right to
Don't
privacy.
You know the Constitution, Tim.
It was a right to privacy that the Supreme Court created. Many people think they created out of whole cloth. That's why people on the right argue that Roe v. Wade was bad law. They immediately get castigated as being anti-woman, but all they're being is legalistic. They're saying, there never before, find me that right in the Constitution. It doesn't exist.
Bernie.
they created it out of an implicit right, basically. And that's why people say Roe v. Wade was bad law. Now, look, do I ever think we're ever going to live in a country where the law of the land is black and white, abortion is illegal? I don't believe that. I think what they'll ultimately do is they will totally give it someday completely to the states.
Well, let's talk when we come back about what Missouri is doing right now and how or if what Missouri is doing right now when it comes to this heartbeat bill, how it's connected to Roe v. Wade on a more national scale, as well as with the other states that are involved. So we're going to have that conversation with Tim Jones when we come back. We're going to have Annie, are you okay? Also in this hour, so stay tuned. And some big Annie Fry Show family news to share with you. We'll have that when we come back as well.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Missouri House has passed the 8-week abortion ban bill, so it awaits the governor's signature. He hasn't signed it yet, right?
No, he
definitely will, but he hasn't.
He will sign the bill. Just like with every bill, there's a period of time that the governor's staff and the governor himself has to review bills to make sure, you know, something wasn't accidentally put in something that shouldn't be there or that it makes sense or whatever.
I would hope that the governor would sign the bill.
He will sign
this bill.
Before
he'd have to read what's in it.
Well, you know, there's that.
So this... Yeah. What's that?
We're talking
it's
about
the story
you
were just talking about off the air. It's already
the latest.
On
the latest thing that you can get in trouble for when you have
well,
to be.
Well, let's first say that
you have to be very careful when you're discussing the subject. And
sure.
I hate to say it, I have to be much more careful than you do.
Well, I have advocated for pro-life issues for a long time, and my favorite is when men tell me that I should not either voice my opinion or I should change my opinion based on women's rights. And I just sit here and I'm like trying to calculate in my head how that person can actually sit here and tell a woman how to think and what to believe and what positions to have, because since he's supporting women's rights, I, as a woman, now have to be subservient to his opinion because he is... It's like
some white liberal,
I'm dizzy.
Some white liberal soy boy knows more about your rights than you do. And Annie, that's the thing that infuriated me the most about this topic in Jefferson City was a complete denial or pretending it didn't exist, pretending that there were no women in the Missouri Capitol that were elected. Inappropriate. It was so looked down upon that there were Republican women that voted pro-life. It was like they didn't exist.
Hello.
But guess what? There's a ton of them up there, and they all voted for this bill. But the media doesn't want to talk to them. The media doesn't want to get their quotes.
That's because they're wrong. They think that they're wrong. They think that they're women, but they're misguided, probably by the patriarchy. People like you, white man.
That's right. Tim Joji, yes. White man.
You're like, can't do much about it. I myself am as white as it comes. I look at this 8-week bill and the fact that it is banning abortions after 8 weeks and it does not include exceptions for anything other than the life and health of the mother.
That's correct.
Does it say health or does it say life? Do we know? Because
I'm not sure.
Because New York changed it to be health, and I think it's worth looking back.
That's more expansive.
Yes, health for sure. What is health? What all gets lumped into the idea of caring for the health of the mother?
I think it's written in the bill as medical emergencies.
Listen,
in Missouri, yes, I think that's correct.
That's important. Yes. That's an important distinction because this is what the Virginia State House Democrats way back in January.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Wow. All
right. That chairman, first of all, did a nice job.
He did. He must be a lawyer.
Or a doctor.
He knew the answers to his questions when he was asking the questions. And the key there is he says mental health. She says, or physical health. Hmm. And he goes, well, I'm also talking about mental health. And he goes on to say, well, okay, I'm sorry. Having kids is stressful. It's going to make you question your mental health from time to time for sure. It is not an easy thing to do. But to say that up until the point when the woman is dilating, if there is a physical or mental health issue, this bill would cover the abortion of that child. Mm-hmm. That is insanity. And so then people look at what's going on in Missouri and they go, no exceptions for rape or incest. Mm-hmm. That's insanity. I'm like, well, we're living in insane times.
It's a reaction to the insanity. And now, and as you pointed out, what about there's never a focus on the one totally innocent being here, and that's the child yet to be born.
So
there's never any quarter given to that.
No, it's and that's the only way you make this a women's rights issue is if you only focus on the beating heart of the woman. They don't care about the beating heart of the child. In fact, they have to position it as if they can't care about it, because if you acknowledge what it is, I don't know a human who can know that and see that and hear that and say, well, you know, it's not the right time. It's not convenient. It's like 85% of abortions are done in some varying form of birth control. Mm-hmm. The amount of rape and incest cases that exist are super, super small percentage of all abortions. But let's talk for a second about, and I'll take the lead on this, being a woman. I don't know. I'm a conservative, so I think my womanhood is like
negated. It may not
count.
Your opinion may not count.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it my best shot. When we have the conversation about rape and incest, to your point, Tim, when you're talking about the life that has been created from some act, whether it was consensual or if it was rape or if it was incest, you still have the result of a child being formed. You mm-hmm. still have a life that has been created. Mm-hmm. Now, scientifically speaking, that child is as responsible for its own existence in every instance that it has been created. So scientifically, you could have 100 women who are 12 weeks pregnant, and 85 of those women missed their pill one day and mm-hmm. they got pregnant, mm-hmm. or something happened and didn't properly plan and they got pregnant, or they did everything right and they still somehow were part of that very fractional amount where the birth control doesn't work the way it's supposed to. 85% of those women are pregnant and potentially seeking an abortion because this is not what they intended, mm-hmm. just not what they planned for. And then you start getting into the last 15%, and maybe it's going to threaten the life of the mother. Maybe it's going to just threaten the general well-being of the mother. And some of those, maybe two of them are, even to say two of them are conceived out of rape and two of them are conceived out of incest is still percentage.
You're giving the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. That's a higher percentage than actually exists in the scope of the tens of millions of babies that we've murdered. Those four babies, the two that have been conceived in rape, the two have been conceived in incest. If you put 100 women up there, those women all have very different experiences.
Right.
Totally 100% respect that those women all got to that position. Some of them have men standing next to them still. A lot of them don't.
Right.
A lot of the men, they opted out because they can, because they're not carrying the child, which is where the inequality actually comes in. The expectation that we have for the woman from a legal standpoint and the expectation we apparently don't have for the man responsible in that situation. But when you look at the women, 100 women, 100 different experiences, my heart goes out to all 100 of those women. Look at the babies they're carrying. They're all as innocent as the next.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about exceptions for rape and incest, that is a very complicated situation. And even though you may not know at 8 weeks that you're pregnant, many would, some wouldn't. I would assume that with this being an 8-week ban, the plan B is still in play if it is taken, if you were raped mm-hmm. or if incest happens, you would be able to still legally in the state of Missouri take care of that situation with an abortion up to 8 weeks.
I believe so.
Correct?
Yes. And the issue that you're raising right now, the fact that you call it a baby in the womb is the conversation the left does not want to have with you. Because that's the question they don't want to discuss, is after 40 years since Roe v. Wade was decided, science has developed and changed and advanced. And we on the right always get accused of being science deniers on the issue of climate change, but never on this issue, because we're the ones that are promoting the science on this issue, which we know for real. We, you know, climate change, a lot of scientists will argue with you about what and who, when and where and why is causing it. I think we all agree the climate changes. I agree the climate changes. It's the cause. With this situation now, we have science like 4D ultrasounds, fetal pain monitors mm-hmm. and fetal heartbeat monitors. So they don't want to have that. They don't want to have that discussion about what's going
they
on.
Can't.
Inside,
they the can't science. Afford to.
So, as Tony and I have talked about before, the left has cleverly turned the entire argument away from science and into an issue of women's health.
Yeah, and that's, as a woman, bogus. And I can't say the word that I want to definitely say. I want to get to this phone call before we take a break. Eric, thanks for calling the show.
Well, thanks for letting me talk.
Yeah.
I'm a pro-lifer. But my question is, we do have a way of solving this thing when it comes to rape and incest. Rape and incest are standalone felonies in and of themselves. They have nothing to do with, I mean, they can incidentally have a pregnancy. And what I'm going to say is, if a purse snatcher would go grab a little old lady's purse, and she'd fall and hit her head, and she'd die to a hematoma, that purse snatcher would be charged with murder.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't mean to kill her, it happened. In the case of rape and incest, as much as I hate it, they could have an abortion because it was something against their will. But the state has a responsibility for charging felonies. We would have the right to take the fetal tissue and now, due to genetic testing, have those markers, because that fetus is only half the mother. The other half is the male.
Right.
And now that we have that data, when we find the rapist or the incestuous person, they be charged with manslaughter or murder, whatever you want to do it, but they would be charged with the crime that caused that pregnancy in the first place. We keep trying to put all these things together, and they're distinct crimes that need to be separated from just the blanket statement of having an abortion,
Eric,
in my opinion.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. That's a really interesting thought. I've never heard that type of a presentation before.
And what do you do with all the crimes that are on the books in states like New York, where someone, if a mother carrying a child is, you know, God forbid, is killed and the baby dies as well, there's crimes on the books. The law does recognize that as two separate beings, because you could charge that as two separate
and
murders or manslaughters.
And New York undid that.
Yeah, and New York undid that. I mean, isn't that incredibly horrific? It's the devaluing of life, which
Amen.
We've done dramatically over the last 10, 20 years in this country.
And we've done it dramatically over the course of centuries in the United States with slavery. And people will call in here and say, you know, it's the law. It's just the law. You know, you need to respect the law. Well, we can have conversations because of the First Amendment about what law should stay and what should go. And it used to be legal in this country to own people and to use those people for your own financial benefit. And we did that based on a color of somebody's skin in large part. That used to be legal, but thank God some people stood up and said, that really shouldn't be the law anymore. And they were able to shed blood over it to move away from that. When, honestly, slavery is everywhere in this world. Slavery has been everywhere in this world. The selling of humans from one place to the other is not something that we created here in the United States. We took it as a trade from like South Africa when we discovered the North American continent, and we took it over here, and then we killed each other to stop it because it was that important.
The other dirty little secret that you're talking about here, it has segues into that. The largest group of victimized people in the abortion industry, African Americans.
Amen. And I've watched Candace Owens has been tweeting on this pretty regularly. She's a good follow on Twitter as well. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can squeeze in another phone call. And then when Tony Colombo stops doing construction over here, maybe Annie, are you okay? He's trying to fix the frozen tundra that is the studio. And it looks like he and Home Depot are going to do some work here. Is that going to push all that cold air over to me? Maybe?
I don't know.
What you do know is it's going to push it away from you. Am I right?
Yes.
That's the goal.
He's such a gentleman. Annie, are you okay with more cold air coming over here? I'll give you one guess. More when we come back. Stay tuned. Just when you think your faith is slipping a little bit, Kirsten Gillibrand is there to remind you of what your faith is about in the first place. She says, if you are a person of the Christian faith, one of the tenets of our faith is free will. No, free will is something that God gives us, but your faith, you don't have to have free will to do whatever you want as part of your faith. That's like, doesn't make sense at all. Did she say at a Holiday Inn Express last night? I don't understand it. This woman does not get it. But she also did get a picture with, what's that not funny comedian's name? Amy
Schumer.
Schumer.
We all knew it.
Isn't Amy, and aren't Amy and Chuck related? Isn't she like
are
a
they
niece?
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that explains a lot. Neither one of them are funny.
It's kind of scary. The Democratic said that she would only tap judges who support the decision in Roe v. Wade to sit in the Supreme Court. Don't have to worry about that one. Gillibrand was a vocal critic of now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who was also confirmed to the bench in October, generally over concerns about abortion.
Where's she polling, by the way?
Sorry.
Let's just having a rough go.
What's the statistic? She's not even on the Democratic debate stage right now because she hasn't had 65,000.
Well, she's got the 1%, which is one of the two qualifications, so she's okay there. But she doesn't have the 65,000 individual donors. So the two qualifications to get on the debate stage for the Democrats are you have to be polling at 1% average in three major polls, or have 65 individual donors to your campaign across the United States. She does not have 65,000 individual donors.
But Mary Catherine Gallagher does.
But somebody named Marianne Williamson does.
Do you know Marianne Williamson?
No, should I?
She might be your president.
Marianne Williamson is a New Age author.
Okay.
And she's one of the 20,000 people running for president on the Democratic
side. We think there's 24.
And she does have the 65,000 individual donors. And I think her right now, her Real Clear Politics average is 0.05%. So she's just a half a percent away from actually qualifying on both.
Do we have an even two dozen yet? So we can say we have 24 candidates.
I think we
do. We have 24 now? I think we do.
I teased earlier a big Annie Fry Show family announcement, and we went to break, and Katie goes,
she got excited.
What? Do I know about this? Do I know? And I said, yes, you know. Frank Ladd and his beautiful wife, Katie, had their baby today.
Hey!
At 12:05 a.m., so just snuck into the May 17th birthday, and baby's name, he is adorable, and his name is Felix. Which is fantastic.
So cute.
Does Frank already have him in a Blues outfit?
Probably. I think he's probably got him in goal. Yeah. He's
in goal tonight.
Get out there. Give it your best shot.
Come on.
We need a little help. Need a little pick me up.
Did we share the picture yet?
I'm sharing it right now.
So Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Please go like the page before Facebook kicks us off. It's inevitable. I want to be able to call.
You're next.
I'm next.
They're coming for you. They're gunning for you next.
I'm probably not a big enough deal.
I think you're a big deal.
I have many leather-bound books.
Even many leather-bound books.
All right.
You and Pete Buttigieg.
Me? Have you heard?
What's the mayor done recently? I haven't heard about him much recently.
Well, the president said that the president was asked if he cared, if Trump cared, if Buttigieg was campaigning around with his husband. He's like, no, I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a non-story. If Obama would have said something like that, it would have been the lead story. But that won't necessarily be the case now. So okay. Are you done, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to rock?
I'm ready.
There's a lot of internal construction going on here.
There is. Yes.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This? Annie, you okay? You okay,
Annie? Taco Bell is opening a luxury hotel.
Ooh.
It's called The Bell. It's going to open in Palm Springs, California. This is real.
Okay.
Luxury hotel. They are going to have, what are they going to have at the Bell? Lots of Taco Bell food, including test items you can't get anywhere else. A gift shop with Taco Bell merchandise. A salon that will do, quote, Taco Bell inspired nail art, haircuts, and braids.
This is like a dream come true for me.
Really? You gonna
really
go?
Is. I love Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. No word on how much rooms will cost yet, but they are advertising it as a luxury hotel, so probably not going to be cheap.
Does it say how many rooms?
It does not.
They all come with a free quesarito.
There's four rooms, so they're always sold out. I'm making that up.
Test items that you can't get anywhere else.
Ooh.
Gift shop. Salon that will do Taco Bell-inspired nail art, haircuts, and braids.
If it has luxury prices, the people who are going to be willing to stay there are not going to be able to afford it.
I don't know if that's going to make it.
You okay with staying at a luxury hotel full of tacos?
I'm okay with Taco Bell and staying at home.
And tacos.
Would you go? Would you go? No.
I would.
I mean, I would as a goof.
Where
but I'm
this?
Not going to spend a whole bunch of money.
California? Of course it is.
Yeah. You okay, Annie? Palm Springs. This one's going to hit close
fire.
To home. Yep. 10.7 million people are expected to skip work this Monday due to the Game of Thrones finale.
No wonder I had to.
We're going to be hungover?
Yeah, what? You two both watch Game of Thrones, don't you?
Yeah, I guess we're having a big party Sunday night or something.
Do you?
Yeah.
No.
My wife and I will stay and watch it.
According to a new poll, 10.7 million people are going to skip work either by calling in or in sick or using a last-minute vacation day. Because of the Game of Thrones finale. Big question is, after Sunday's finale, are all the fans going to be happy, satisfied?
No, they're not satisfied.
Outraged.
I don't watch any of the show, and everybody wants, all they want to do is whine.
Complain.
Mm-hmm. That's all you're doing.
My husband is someone that goes and watches videos of people giving their theories of what's going to happen, and he says that everyone keeps saying how disappointed they are with this season. He's
There's
like,
a
I'm
petition.
Sick of it.
There's a petition.
To start it the whole season
that has
over.
Almost a seven. That is up to almost a million signatures right now that want them to redo
Wait a second. Might be the coolest thing ever. Just think about the future of television. You could go back and redo the last season of any series.
Talk about a moneymaker.
There are series that I would, even if I liked the way a show ended, that I would be like living in. It'd be cool to go back and live in an alternate reality and see.
How about like redoing Lost and making it have a point?
Annie, like the ending of Lost.
Annie, are you okay with Katie not coming into work on Monday because headache?
I'm not going in, guys.
You have a Game of Thrones headache.
Well, that means that Tony Colombo, you are my producer, and it'll be 3 hours of Signs of the Apocalypse, and Annie, you're okay. Tim, what are you doing
Monday?
Fine
with me.
I can saunter in.
You're probably going to be upset, too. I've never seen any Game of Thrones. That's not true. I tried to watch the first episode, and then a small child was murdered, and I was like, whew, maybe it was bad timing. Maybe I'll watch it again. I'll wait until all y'all are melting down on Sunday night, shaking your fists at the sky, and then I'll watch it in 2 years, maybe. Dave Glover Show, coming your way. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.